This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Everybody seems to have a playbook these days. We hear everybody talking about a playbook. We have football playbooks. We have political playbooks. Everybody seems to have a playbook. But does the devil have a playbook? Or does God have a playbook? And what playbook do you play by? Today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about that. Spiritual warfare, we're going to be talking about equipping ourselves for the battles not only that we're facing now, but that we're going to be facing, because the Bible tells us that as we approach the end of the age, as we get further and further into the time immediately preceding the Lord's coming, that we're going to be facing even more battles from the devil's playbook. And so today we're going to equip you. One of the purposes of this program is to disciple for destiny. That means to equip God's people to do the work of the ministry, but also to be equipped to be able to be overcomers, to be able to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, so that we are not captured by the devices of our arch enemy, the devil. Well, you may have heard the phrase, the devil made me do it. Well, did the devil actually make you do anything? I thought the Bible says that the devil doesn't make you do anything. He can't make you do anything, so why do you do it? Why do we do the things that we do that are not pleasing to God? Interesting question. It's a probing question. As a lawyer, we would call it a probative issue. It's a probative question because it gets down into the deepest recesses of our minds and hearts. Why do we do what we do? Why do we say the things that we say? Why do we think the things that we think? And why do we act upon the things that we say and the things that we think the way we do? And then regret what we said and what we did. Well, we want to expose some of that here today on Viewpoint. We're going to shine the light of God's truth deep into the deepest recesses of our minds and hearts. And to help us do that, John Ramirez is joining us from Southern California. He doesn't actually speak with a Southern accent that I recognize here in the Southeast of America, but he's in the Southwest, and there they have a different accent. John, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you so much, my brother. Blessings to you. Thank you so much. I'm the bipolar guy. North Carolina. I live in New York City. I got the accent from there, and Southern California is my home. I married a California girl.
There you go. Well, you know, accent. I'm understanding that New York has a lot of demonic forces going on there. We hear all about it, but so does California, Southern California. I spent 30 years there and experienced so much of that. But the enemy of our souls is active from coast to coast, isn't he, and all over the world?
Absolutely, 1,000%.
You had an interesting background. You're from Puerto Rico. Did I pronounce that correctly, by the way? Puerto Rico?
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Good. So you're from Puerto Rico, and you moved to New York when you were a kid, and then you got involved with the ministry of David Wilkerson. How did that happen?
Well, Wilkerson came much, much, much later. My parents immigrated from Puerto Rico. I was 1 year old. But I was in the occult for 25 years, the devil worshiping of my life, the highest level of the hierarchy, the demonic kingdom, for 25 years of my life, selling my soul to the devil. And I had a Halloween witchcraft wedding on Halloween. So that's how that was my life for 25 years before Christ came into my life.
Wow. How is it that you got connected that way and that deeply in Satan's world?
Well, my family's in Puerto Rico and many of the islands. They practice witchcraft. They practice Santeria, spiritualism, and Palo Mayumbe. And my family, when they immigrated to New York City, to the Bronx, we met other family members that were practicing, they call the religion, which is the occult, which is voodoo, and demon church, which is centros in Spanish, which we meet up and we worship the devil. We worship demonic forces, principality, water spirits. and we make covenants, we make contracts, we make initiation ceremonies.
So you were really deep into the demonic world.
I did all the ceremonies in the demonic world on my body from the age of 7.5 years old that I received demonic powers, seven demonic powers, a necklace that fell from the second heaven at 8 years old. I was heading to the witch house to get my first ceremony with my mother and my aunt.
Well, how is it then, John, that you escaped the bondage of witchcraft and the demonic?
Well, to make a long story short, basically I was sitting on my bed one October 1999. October is Witchcraft Month. I had a list of witchcraft duties to do to people, to put witchcraft infirmities, put depression, oppression, put suicide spirits on them. And I actually sat in the bed, and for the first time I was being depressed. God was pulling me one way. The devil was pulling me the other. I told God that night, I said, I don't know who you are. I don't really care. I don't care what your name is. I'm not going to serve you. I'll never be a Christian. I'll be the devil worshiper.
Ooh.
My daddy's bigger than you. And when I was passing away in my bed, the only words that came out of my mouth was, if you're bigger than my daddy, the devil, you show me tonight. Ended up in hell. And left my body, died in my apartment, ended up in hell, met the cross of Jesus Christ, met the devil. Put back into my body, and I became a believer in Jesus Christ.
Wow. And so you've been following Jesus Christ ever since?
Since 1999 into today, been with the Lord, no backsliding, no quitting, no giving up, no surrendering, getting to the finish line.
Well, that's what we all need to be doing. Your story is rather unusual. I dare say that perhaps none of the listeners to this program have ever had that kind of history, but you certainly do. And therefore, you're somewhat aware, more aware of the devil's devices than the average person, I would say.
Very much so. I lived with the devil for 25 years of my life. I had a demonic wedding on Halloween. That's why it shocked me when Christians celebrate Halloween. Don't know why, but blows my mind. Got married, witches and warlocks from different regions came to baptize my wedding. And I had a blood ritual with my wedding, got married on Halloween, did witchcraft from the age of 8 all the way to, I went to demon church from 7 in the evening to 5 in the morning, was trained with the highest levels of witchcraft, sold my soul to the devil, and 25 years of my life until Jesus interrupted the plans of the devil.
So Jesus bought you back from having sold your soul to the devil.
Yeah, you know, one thing I share, my precious brother, we don't sell our soul to the devil because our soul belongs to the Lord. We sell our allegiance, our devotion, and our dedication to the devil.
How did David Wilkerson there in New York Times Square Church minister to you? That was a very special encounter, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. David Wilkerson was one of a kind. I always say people like Wilkerson, Nikki Cruz, people like Billy Graham, they only come once in a lifetime. And I've been fortunate enough that I actually went to Times Square Church because I was going to a church in the Bronx, and it was kind of, it wasn't fulfilling my walk with God. I was disappointed because
right.
I said, if this is Christianity, then I was doing more, I was doing more in demon church.
Yeah,
I
really.
I was doing more stuff in demon church.
Well, we'll talk about that when we get back from this break. Certainly there at Times Square, David Wilkerson speaks very strongly, has spoken very powerfully into the kingdom of God, and delivered so many folk. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Exposing the devil's playbook, Satan's devices. We're said in the scriptures that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, but apparently we are, because if we weren't, we wouldn't be cooperated with them, would we? And that brings about why so many professing Christians are defeated, why they go through the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Running to the altar every week or wherever they're running to and fro, looking for some deliverance, looking for hope, looking for this, and they just don't understand spiritual warfare. Well, we're going to talk a bit about that here today on Viewpoint. Before we get back with our guest, John Ramirez, I want to make his book available to you because I think it's going to be very encouraging to at least one person out there, at least one, maybe many. It's a $22 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org, Exposing the Devil's Playbook. Powerful spiritual warfare strategies to equip you for the battle that you're in and are going to be in the near future. $15 on our website, saveus.org. Give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Writing a check and $6 for postage and handling, friend, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. One of the things that I've noticed, John, about your book, you don't write like the usual theologian type. You write like somebody who's been out there where the real battle is. You write in a vernacular way, oftentimes deadly serious but humorous at the same time. And that means that as I've read your book, I've underlined so many things, phrases that you've used that I thought were just terrific. And I appreciate your style here. You're a fascinating guy with a fascinating background. And speaking of backgrounds, it takes us a long, long, long way back to what happened with God's people, then called the Hebrews, that were spending 400 years in bondage in Egypt, and then God heard their cries and decided to deliver them from the fiery furnace there, the house of bondage, deliver them from Pharaoh, who was a type of Satan or the Antichrist himself, and lead them out. The problem is that God led them out with a mighty hand, but he could not get them to the promised land because they didn't understand the nature of spiritual warfare. It seemed that they murmured and they complained and they bellyached and they did not remember the mighty acts of God. And God said, finally, look, I can't put up with you. I cannot allow you into my promised land. How does that relate to us today?
Well, it relates a lot to us today because a lot of times we can be critical with the Israelites, but we don't see ourselves, right?
You think?
Right? And, I can raise my hands on that. Sometimes I make the spiritual mistake that I forget the spiritual resume, that all the things that God delivered me from, all the things he brought me through, mm-hmm. and I see a situation because it looks different.
Right.
You know, one thing you said, the devil can't make you do it, but the devil can tempt you. That's what the Bible said. No,
exactly, exactly.
That doesn't make a way to escape. So the devil's ministry is temptation. He tempted Adam and Eve. You know, he tempted many people in the Old Testament. He tempted the Israelites to rebel against God in the wilderness. He tempted them to rebel them in the wilderness, to have unbelief, to not trust God for the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us, we don't trust God. We rebel against God because we don't trust God for our purpose and destiny. And we don't trust God for an open heaven. We don't trust God because temptation, the Bible says, no temptation cometh to man, and God doesn't make a way escape. So when you get, you know, I say in the book that our mind is a bad neighborhood, right? Your mind is a bad neighborhood. You better bring the Holy Spirit with you to walk through your mind. So the Holy Spirit can help you because my mind is a bad neighborhood. And I grew up in a bad neighborhood. I grew up in the South Bronx. And if you want to see demons, come to New York City. Get on the subway.
Right.
There's plenty of demons there.
Well, see, friends, I told you our guest today has a very interesting way of expressing things. And he says your mind is a bad neighborhood. Well, it is if our minds are not renewed in Christ every day. So I do not understand, John, why so many professing Christians don't spend quality time in the Word of God every day. In fact, Christian men are renowned for not reading the Word of God. They let their wives do it. And no wonder we've got such problems in our families.
Yeah, I tell you, my wife can read the Word, but I'm going to read it too. I mean, we both need help. right? Because that's how you fight the good fight of faith.
That's right.
Marriage,
together.
Right?
That's right.
Together, right? One together, one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight together. And we need to know how to, you know, one thing about the devil, he don't care if you go to church, he don't care if you write books, he don't care. Even the devil don't care if you read the Bible. The devil's afraid when you pray because God makes a way for a praying person all the time.
Well, if we're praying sincerely and with clean hands and a pure heart, but if we go to the book of Isaiah, we find that God says, hey, I don't want you to pray for these people. He said the same thing to Jeremiah. Don't pray for these people anymore. I'm not going to listen to them because they're not coming to me with clean hands and a pure heart. What say you?
Mm-hmm. And one thing I know about the Lord, one thing I've learned in my walk with the Lord, to be genuine with the Lord at all times. And I'm in love with Jesus. I'm not in love with the things that I do for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in love for the person I do it for.
And
I think a lot of times we lose track. We're in love with the things we do, but we're not in love with the person we do it for anymore. And we need to be in love with him because he's our first love, and then everything else is just secondary.
You know, that is so powerful, John. One of the things that I've noted, and you're probably aware of this, that over the past year, 2024, in the buckle of the Bible Belt, Dallas, Texas, there have been at least 10 major, major ministries that have fallen. Pastors with 20, 30, 40 years of ministry history, renowned on radio and television, renowned across the body of Christ, have fallen out of grace, so to speak, because they fell to temptation. They did not resist the devil. They did not fight according to the word, the will, and the ways of God. And now there's another one that is coming over the airwaves. I just read some of the history today and was talking with my wife about it. It's a dear brother, and he's fighting stuff that came up over 20 years ago. And it seems that the devil knows how to dredge up the things that we allowed into our lives as Christians 15, 20, 25 years ago and bring them up at just the right time to knock us out of the saddle.
And, man, you know, I always say this. My heart goes out to many of those ministers that you know, whether they're going through what they're going through, whether it's Daystar, the other ministers that are going through. My heart goes out to ministers because, you know, I see a lot of YouTubers out there trying to do exposing this, exposing that, but no one's preaching the word. And my thing is, you know, we don't fight the body of Christ. We fight the devil.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate your saying that because you said YouTubers out there trying to make a name for themselves by being spiritual muckrakers. In other words, they're trying to point out everybody else's sins while they themselves are acting in pride and going against the very word of God and subjecting themselves to the very schemes of the devil.
Yeah, I'm not going to be the devil's mouthpiece. I pray for every brother and sister or every ministry out there that have gone through some challenges or been in a situation that is going now. Like you stated, many ministers out there have fallen. I don't rejoice over that because we're on the same team.
Right.
My heart is, you know, we don't fight the body of Christ. Like I said, we fight the devil. And many ministers out there, they call themselves pastors, but they're on YouTube exposing and doing this. I mean, what was the last time you preached a sermon? What was the last time you baptized somebody? What was the last time you did communion? I mean, well, stop wasting time in promoting the devil instead of promoting the cross. And the Bible says, restore your brother gently, love on your brother. And the Bible says, you know, God is the only judge that can judge anybody.
Well, that's true. He is the judge. We are supposed to discern spirits, but we are not supposed to be the ultimate judge. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters and encourage them. They may not be able to continue in ministry, but they're still human beings. And hopefully they confess before the Lord and repent and turn from these things. Now, you say in your word, in your book, very fascinating phrase, you talk about spiritual dementia. I thought that was just such an amazing expression. What do you mean by so many Christians have spiritual dementia?
Yeah, I mean spiritual dementia in a believer is you know, your mind being fragmented by the devil. Your mind is fragmented by the enemy, so you forget all the good things that God done, all the victory.
Right.
I always said there's mountains, there's valleys, but there's Jesus. right? There's mountains, there's valleys, but there's Jesus.
Right.
And I think today we got the devil's advancing, the church is stuck, and God is searching. So spiritual dimension to me, I'm not going to forget all the things that God has done for me, all he brought me through, all everything that I thought that it was over, God showed up and God brought me through it. That is my spiritual resume. You can't take that away from me. You can't take that. You can't put white out over it. The blood of Jesus is over my resume. Paul had a resume. Paul said, I was shipwrecked. I was this. I was that.
Right.
But God came through for me.
And all right. So you use the phrase, but God. You know, the key phrase, it's actually kind of a national phrase in Ghana, West Africa. And it's the word jinami, which means but God or but for God. My son-in-law, whose father was a chief in Ghana, has that as his license plate, jinami, but for God. And we need to have that written on the membranes of our minds, but for God. Here's the problem. The children of Israel, while they were taken out of Israel with a mighty, out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and God brought them across the Red Sea, he brought them across Jordan, he did all these amazing miracles, but they didn't remember. And over again, God raised up a prophet, and he said, remember, 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 remember. What happens if we don't remember what God has done?
And then the devil will eat your lunch.
You know, speaking of the devil eating lunch, I remember a bear up in Yosemite years ago running along a trail and snatching a lunch right out of a kid's hand. It was walking down the trail. That's what the devil will do, isn't it?
The devil will take a lunch, and he'll eat it, and he'll spit it back out. And you know, it's like the word in this Selah, stop and meditate. Of the goodness of God.
Uh-huh.
Stop and meditate. It's not what you see, it's what you believe. Faith is not seeing, faith is believing. And faith is the knowledge of God. I have the knowledge of God. I have faith in my life that I know that God can bring me through.
Well, the interesting thing is, though, John, that we like to talk about the knowledge of God, but we don't want to talk about knowing God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can know everything about God. You can go through a theological doctorate degree and know a lot about God, but it doesn't mean you know him.
Yeah, and it's like how many people say, I believe God, but not many follow, right? Many people believe God in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Many people believe they got free lunch, they got healing.
Right.
They went to the clinic, Jesus healed them. They went to the clinic, they got healed, they got free lunch. They got on the lunch line, they got free lunch, but they didn't follow. They went to a certain place, they got what they wanted, they left. They believe for what they got, but then after that, but I want to be a follower.
Okay, well, that brings up a whole different issue about the word believe.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing, you're using the word believe the way we in America think about the word believe, which is sort of like giving a mental credence to certain facts. We agree with certain facts. Jesus was the Son of God. God is eternal. Omniscient, omnipotent. We know all those things. We're sinners. We're saved by grace through faith. But in reality, that's not what believe means from the Hebrew viewpoint. And the word believe is coming out of the message of Hebrews or Jewish people, Jesus, all of his apostles, and what they mean by believe is not only that you give mental assent to those things, that you conduct your life accordingly.
Amen.
That's the missing link. And a lot of people, I think this is one of the reasons why the devil's able to get so much control and dominion over a lot of people is because they have what you call religious credibility problems. Their life doesn't line up with what they say they believe.
Amen to that. And a lot of people want to believe, but they don't want to be transformed, right?
Exactly. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point.
And now so many believers, that's a lot of Christians, keep going back to the altar every week.
Yeah, let us go back to Bethel one more time, as the song used to say. All right, so we need to put the word of God on our lips. We need to be consistent about the word of God on our lips, and it has to relate to the testimony that we have, remembering what God has done, the mighty acts of God, so that when the tough times come, we're not standing out there like the king without any clothes. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. saveus.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at saveus.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
The devil camps between our miracles or between our victories, friends, in our minds. The devil camps between our victories, and that's where we're vulnerable. That may be where your marriage has become vulnerable. You got married. Maybe you got married in a church. You got married. You made a vow before God and these witnesses that from this day forth you were going to give honor to God by ministering to your husband, to your wife, till death do you part. So whatever happened, how did the devil get a hold of your life and cause you to divorce so that in the last 25 years, the divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America has exceeded the nation as a whole by 50%? Do you think the devil didn't get a hold of American Christians? Even in the Bible Belt of America? How could such a thing happen? John, do you have any clue?
Hey, I think that we're in a place that instead of humbling ourselves in a marriage and knowing that we're in the same team, we are more into who gets the last word, who wins the argument.
Wow. In other words, we are ignorant of the enemy's devices. We're not keeping the kingdom. We're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're seeking first our own power or our own selfish interests and so on. And that's just contrary to the very spirit of marriage, isn't it?
Yep. And I think that we come to a place that we do like the devil do. We twist scripture. And we said, what the Bible says is this, but we don't know what it means.
Well, tweaking, you're not saying twerking scripture, you're saying tweaking scripture, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But we would rather twerk than tweak, and we would rather tweak than actually take God at his word. So how do we do that? For instance, here's one way we do that. Jesus said, whoever divorces their spouse causes him to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. So what do we say? Well, we say, well, yes, but God wants me happy. He says he wants us holy, but God wants me happy. And so we have a new ministry going around called the Ministry of Happiness. Not the Ministry of Holiness, but the Ministry of Happiness, which brings us to another question. And I think, and you point this out in your book, this is the question of the hour, and it's the question of history. It's Satan's ultimate device, and he asked this question, hath God said? That, to me, is the linchpin of all temptation. Hath God said? Why would that be?
Well, you know, we see the life of Jesus, right? He get baptized in the Jordan. Comes out to Jordan. This is my beloved son, right? I'm well pleased with him. This is my beloved son. And then what? As soon as he goes into the wilderness, the devil's right there waiting for him, saying, did God say? Are you questioning his identity, his divinity? Are you God's son? Do this. I mean, so the devil knows how to twist the word. The devil knows how to masquerade things you heard from God, the word of God, the promises of God. The devil knows, is God said? Is God said this? Is God say that? because the devil has a pocket full of question marks, but God has a pocket full of answers.
Do you know that what you're really, the implication of what you're really saying is that the devil has a massive number of pastors and parachurch leaders in his hip pocket because they're the ones that are connecting the dots for his devices to question what God has said and make excuses.
Well, he did the same thing with Adam and Eve. You know, did God say this? Did God say that? He did the same thing with Adam and Eve, right? Adam, did God say you could eat from this tree? You know, the devil is always going to throw question marks at you. So, because the devil knows you already got the answer, but if he can take the answer from you and give you and sell you question marks, and then you're the wrong path.
Well, but we want what we want. That's the flesh. Well, yeah. We want what we want, and that's why temptation is so effective.
That's why it said the devil's ministry is temptation, right? In the book, I wrote a chapter in the book that temptation has a price.
Yes, right? Sir.
So, and I gave him the analogy about the captain that had a ship that he was taking it from Colombia to California, and the drug cartel said, "Hey, take this shipment. We give you $500." He said, "No, I'm not going to do it." Then they went up, "Oh, we give you $1 million if you take your shipment from Colombia to California." And then he said, "Well, let me think about it." And then he said, "Let me think about it." He got the DEA involved, and they caught the bad guys in California. And the DEA guy said, "Why did it took you so long to report this?" And he said, "Well, they were getting close to my price."
Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of things like that. For instance, the price of committing adultery. What is your price? What is your price? Your willingness to commit adultery. How much temptation do you have to have? What level of temptation? What glories do you have to see in that frisky filly? What is your price?
The devil has this. The devil knows how to masquerade things. So if your wife is 80% at home, but you meet 20% out in the street, so the devil makes the 20% look bigger than the 80% at home. So it's like the dog by the lake that has the bone in his mouth. He sees the reflection in the water. He thinks the bone in the water is bigger than one in his mouth. He dropped the one in his mouth, and he go for the one in the water, and it was all delusional. But there was nothing there.
I told you, friends, that this brother, he's got a way of expressing things that'll really get to you.
You have to express them that way so people can understand how the devil's met this work.
That is exactly right.
In a different way, people will not get the big picture.
That's
the
right.
The devil will put a 20% in your life when you got 80% at home with your marriage. And the devil will put a 20% out there, and the 20% might do something that your wife don't do, but the 20% can't do the 80% at home. So that's the trick of the devil.
The master manipulator, and exactly. So what is temptation? How would you define temptation? Is it like a fork in the road?
No, it's a fork in the road, but it's also flirting with things you're not supposed to flirt with. No matter what it is, it's flirtation. You flirt with something that gets your attention. It catches your curiosity. And when it catches your curiosity, it's like Psalms 91, right? It talks about the four entrenchments of the devil and the young lion, right? The young lion is a small temptation that you think that you can control, that you can put away. You think that you have the upper hand on. You think you got leverage on
it. You mean like pornography?
Pornography? Oh, I can turn it on. I can turn it off. I don't have to watch it every day. But before you know it, you're buying subscriptions, right?
You have a subscription to it, yeah.
Yeah, now the pit bull that was a puppy now is a big dog. And now the big dog, instead of you having control over the puppy, now the dog becomes big, and the dog becomes good, and the pit bull got a big bite.
He's got such a big bite of 70% of Christian men that they have no spiritual victory. Even Christian pastors, 30% of them, admit to be involved in pornography. I'll tell you, brother, I can't come even a quarter of an inch near stuff like that, because God made man to be guided in many respects by his eye gate. And we just cannot allow ourselves to get near and do a dance with the devil by allowing ourselves even a quarter of an inch of pornography, can we?
Yeah, I mean, you can't. You know, one thing about the devil, devil will always outdo you and beat you. Real simple in a conversation. He did it to Adam and Eve. He tried with Jesus, but Jesus came back with the word. Jesus came back with the word and beat the devil like a piñata, like was no tomorrow.
So what would you say to somebody with the word, what would you say very simply to a man who's struggling with pornography? That's a massive temptation, becoming an addiction. What would you say to him very simply?
Well, first of all, you have to renounce it. You have to renounce it. You have to break soul ties with it. You need to break eye gate, ear gate, mouth gate with it. You need to break these
things. And then you have to flee it. Doesn't the Bible say flee temptation?
You
can't do a dance with it?
Yeah, get rid of your laptop. Get rid of your TV for a season.
You know, speaking of that, several years ago, a man came to me and he said, Chuck, will you take my laptop? I said, why? He says, because I can't control it. I'm so bound by pornography. And I realize as long as I have this laptop with me, I'm stuck. Will you please take it for me for a while? So I did. I'm not sure where the brother is now with regard to that. But ultimately, he asked for the laptop back. But that may be what we have to do. Is that very much like pulling your eye out because the eye is offending you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, David Wilkerson, and he mentored me for 3 years, and we talked about him earlier. David Wilkerson, he said in his time was his TV, right? The One-Eyed Monster, he used to call it, right? He saw his television. He saw his TV. Those 2 hours that he was watching TV every night, watching the news, he sold his television. He gave those 2 hours to the Lord, and look what God did with David Wilkerson. Look what he turned the world upside down with Pastor Dave Wilkerson, right? So today it's not the TV anymore. It's our iPhone. It's our computers.
Yeah.
That's the new one-eyed monster.
Well, it's actually stealing our relationships, stealing our marriages, stealing our relationships with the Lord, stealing our relationships with one another, to the point where, as yesterday, we did an entire program here about the plague of loneliness that's taking over America and the whole world because of the addiction to so-called social media. Friends,
fragmented.
What's that?
People are fragmented, so they need to fill the voids with social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. They need to fill the things, whatever they watch on YouTube. They need to, you know, if you stop, stop, meditate. You know what? I'm going to give my time to the Lord. I'm going to give my time to prayer. I'm going to give my time to have some long conversation with God. Even if he don't speak back today, he'll speak back tomorrow. But, you know, I'm going to switch the channel on the devil. And you need to switch the channel of your life on the enemy. A lot of people, they do the same thing over, and they're like insanity. You expect different results. You do the same thing over and over. How do you want to expect different results? How do you want God to speak to you? How do you want to hear from God? When you're going to your prayer closet with your Costco list, and you're asking God for all these things, and then you run out the closet, and God is about to speak to you. You know, I've learned to shut my mouth, pray, and say, Lord, you talk to me. You know me. I'm crazy. I'm delusional. I don't talk. You talk. Your talk is better than mine.
Well, so, be still and know I am God. That's what we need to do. Be still. And friends, our brother has been there. He's done that. He knows the devices of the evil one. He really does in practical ways.
That's what the Bible said, redeem your time. Your days are evil.
Exactly.
The devil's trying to steal your time. The devil knows if he owns your time, he owns you.
Yeah. So well, yeah, 83 seconds a day, and that's it. Yeah. Okay, yeah, we'll be right back after this break. Exposing the devil's playbook, friends. Satan's devices, are we really ignorant of them? We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
We're talking with John Ramirez here today on Viewpoint concerning the Satan's devices, exposing the devil's playbook. And this is a wonderful, wonderful book. And I think you can gather the freshness of John's approach here that pierces through so much of our business as usual churchianity thinking to enable us to understand the reality of the spiritual warfare that we face. Powerful spiritual warfare strategies to equip you for battle. It's a $21, $22 book, yours for $15 on our website, friends, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. You know, the enemy of our soul is roving around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is. He wants to devour you. The Apostle Peter told us that. He tried to devour Satan, by causing him through the weakness of his flesh to deny Jesus three times. That's right, he did. Peter. And if it can get Peter, it can get you. If we haven't taken our faith to the spiritual gym. That's one of the fascinating phrases that John has brought up in his book, Faith in Dark Times. Don't let the dark times determine your future. Take your faith to the spiritual gym. What do you mean by that?
I use Michael Felt as an analogy in the book in that chapter. Michael Felt won 23 medals.
Right.
And we know his story, right? I mean, what an amazing swimmer, right? But hitting swim automatically. So what his coach did, it's like God, right? This is an example. God trains you in a very unorthodox way. God tests your faith in very, very unpractical ways. God tests you in unpredictable ways. That's how God tests our faith, right? So basically, Michael Felt, his coach would train him in very unorthodox ways. He would turn off the lights in the pool, let him swim in the dark. So sometimes God would turn off the lights on you in the season you're in to see if you could swim in the dark. So God would turn off the lights to see if he could swim in the dark. Now, what the coach would do, he'll put holes in his goggles so the water can get in and flood his eyes with water so he can't see where he was going. Because the moral of the training was to learn the pool. Learn your faith. If you learn your faith, you can swim in the dark. If you learn your faith, you know how to get around in the pool. So Michael Phelps learned that way. So he won 23 gold medals, and the rest was silver medals, a bronze medal. And then in the Olympics in Beijing, when he jumped into the water, his goggle got filled with water. He kept swimming because his training kicked in. So when his training kicked in, when he got to the almost 18 laps back and forth, the last lap he heard people cheering. He thought they were cheering for the guy next to him. He took off his goggles, world record.
Wow. Well, as you say, in your book, every battle we face is a test of faith, and every test of our faith is a challenge to get to know not how big our faith is, but how big God is.
Exactly, like right now today, I should today, you know, my mom got 4-stage cancer, she's home, you know, she needs a miracle, right? I had 2 eye surgeries this year, but I'm not moving. The devil might try to put thoughts in my mind, you know, hey, you, John, you pray for people that got healed. Look at your mom. She's dying. But I got faith. I'm believing the Lord that a miracle will happen. A miracle that my mom will get healed, or a miracle my God, my mom is going to go to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. I seen too much in Jesus to let the devil put doubt on me. I seen too much in him that he has brought me through. So then I can start doubting God or getting angry with him. That's what Christians do. We get angry with God. But then we don't get a word from God. We'd rather run to the modern-day prophets that we got today, the Gilligans of they never get off the island. We go run around and look for them, a word. That's witchcraft.
Yeah.
He's practicing witchcraft because you got to go to a modern-day prophet to get a word from them, but you can't go to your Bible and sit in the presence of God and get a word from heaven.
That's because people don't want to go to their Bibles. They want to have somebody to, wave the magic wand over them. That's what you're calling witchcraft. And, there is a legitimate place for anointing or laying on of hands and so on, but it's not intended to be a magic potion. We're intended to live according to the word, the will, and the ways of God, and you used not the magic word, but the real word that God is after, and that's the word trust. Trust is what he's after.
Yeah, and when I was in the witchcraft field, Chuck, I used to go to the tarot cards to get my cards right. I couldn't go to Jesus. I wasn't a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the tarot card. I go to the witch or the warlock to get my cards right every 6 months to get a report card, spiritual report card, how am I doing in the demonic world, right? So I don't need to run to a prophet. I know how to pray. I know how to bend my knee. I know how to seek God. I know how to knock on his door in heaven and wait for word. If God is like the main course at the restaurant. If I decide to order dessert, then that's optional, right? If I decide that God wants someone to give me a word, but then that's optional. But I need to hear from heaven. I don't need to have someone tell me, "Yo, bro, everything is cool." No, I need to hear from God. And bottom line is, we need to go back to what's real. Seek the face of God, not His hand. Seek His face.
Well, I'm going to be real honest with you here. Last night, I was feeling somewhat weary, not totally exhausted, but weary, and I decided not to take a shower, but to take a bath. And so I took a bath, and I laid in the tub in that warm water, and I spent a half an hour talking to the Lord specifically, and I said, "I have to hear your voice. I have to hear your voice. I want to walk with you in spirit and in truth. I do not want to walk according to the flesh. I want to walk according to your spirit. And I want you to know how much I'm seeking that joy and that walk with you, Lord." And, you know, we need to come apart and be quiet before God, whatever it takes, whether it's in the closet or whether it's in the tub or wherever it happens to be. And you make a statement concerning faith in dark times. You say, "We're building a church today asking people to get to know who they are instead of who God is." I thought, what a terrific statement.
Yeah, the better you, the awesome you, the fanatic, the amazing you. I'm like, I don't need to know me. I need to know him.
Well, there was a Southern California preacher named, I'm not going to give his name, but he built the Crystal Cathedral. And he's the guy that wrote the book about self-esteem. And he said, "You don't need to tell people that they're sinners. That's abuse. You just need to build more self-esteem." In other words, make people feel better about who they are, not about who God is.
Well, I mean, I think he's on medication, because that don't work that way. I need to tell people. I don't tell people they're sinners. I need to turn your car around if you're an unbeliever to get you to heaven.
Yeah.
That's my job. But bottom line, you don't need to feel good about you. I hear people sometimes say, "Chuck, I don't raise my hand because I'm not worthy." Well, you don't have to raise your hand. You raise your hand because he's worthy, not you.
That's exactly right. Look, there's one more thing that we need to talk about, and we've alluded to it here. But the Apostle Paul in Corinthians says, look, "The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly or carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down our reasonings and thoughts," the King James says imaginations, means reasonings and thoughts, "and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every one of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Our thoughts are very precious to us because they're ours, but they may not be God's thoughts. They may be the enemy's thoughts that are sown between our eyes where spiritual warfare is taking place. So we have to cast down those thoughts that are contrary to the word, the will, and the ways of God. How do we do that?
Hey man, I tell people, if you can't beat God, if you can't beat the devil in your mind, you're never going to beat him in the battlefield. Because the truth be told, you know, if you don't have dominion over your thoughts, you know, like I said before, your mind's a bad neighborhood. If you walk by yourself, and then you're in trouble. But if you bring the Holy Spirit with you, you bring the Word of God with you, and then you're good to go.
But if you don't know the Word of God, if you refuse to build the Word of God into your life, then you are dead meat before the deceiver, because he knows the Word of God.
Oh, the devil knows the Word of God better than us, because he knows that he could take the Word of God and just tweak one section of it, one word of the Word of God, and tweak it. And when he tweaks it, he reverses it. And when he reverses it, it becomes a half-truth, and half-truth is a lie. And the devil knows how to manipulate. How many people I know that say, "Well, Jesus drank wine." I'm like, or people full of tattoos or marking their bodies,
right. Mm-hmm.
And getting initiated with marks on their bodies and stuff like that. Your body's not yours anymore. I hate to tell you, but it belongs to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You ask the Holy Spirit, you can do anything to your body, or you can do whatever you want, you know, in your own eyes. No.
So in other words, what you're doing is conforming to the ways of the world, the ways of the culture, and claiming that somehow because you're putting a cross on or something else, that you're actually doing a spiritual thing to bless God.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, in your mind, always know one thing. In your mind, the devil's going to call you, and God's going to call you. There's going to be that dividing role in your mind.
Mm.
God is going to call you. God will call you with the word, and the devil will call you with temptation. Which one are you going to choose today?
Oh, brother, this is tough talk for troubled times. And as you said, you may think things are tough now, but they're going to get tougher as we see globalism taking over, as we see the pressures that are coming on, bringing about persecution, first of all, Jews and then Christians now. Increasingly, if we do not have our minds completely absorbed in the word, will, and ways of God, we're going to be dead meat for the devil's devices, aren't we?
Oh, I mean, you're going to be in the chopping block.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be in the chopping block. The devil's going to chop you up, and he's going to spit you back out. I mean, you know, and the devil is not bigger than God, but you're gonna have to have a relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
because the only person that can fight your battles is the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know the Holy Spirit, if you know of God, you don't know God, then you're in trouble. You're fair game to the enemy, and you can't blame God for it. You can't blame the Holy Spirit. You can't blame Father God, Jesus. All this. No, what about your part? Because God always tell me, Chuck. God tell me this. He always said, John, I will always do my part, but I'll never do yours.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, that's exactly what God has said to Israel. He said, I'm going to bring you back to the promised land, not because you're so worthy, but because I gave my word. Now, once mm-hmm. I bring you back, it's up to you whether you're going to obey my voice. So,
and you should stop listening to these stubborn pastors that are telling you lies. Get yourself a real church. Plug yourself into a real church. Plug yourself into a person that's going to teach you the Bible. It's going to bring conviction. I walk into Times Square Church, and I feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
I feel the confrontation of the Holy Spirit. David Wilkerson mentored me for 3 years. He laid hands on me. He let me share my testimony. He showed me the word, what obedience means. You know, he brought me up on stage. He shared my testimony. He said, I'm going to give you 10 minutes. As soon as I got off the stage, I thought he was going to say, oh, my God, you blew me away. Oh, my God, you what a testimony. No, he said, I was looking at my watch to see if he was going to obey.
Well, here we are. Trust and obey, friends, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. When we do that, yes, we are aware of the devil's playbook. We're aware of his devices, but we're not going to submit to them. We're going to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. We're going to conform our minds and our hearts. We're going to conform our decisions. We're going to conform the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts to be pleasing to the Lord at every turn. And when we don't, we're going to confess our sin immediately. We're not going to wait. We're not going to do a dance with the devil. We're not going to play games with our flesh, but we're going to walk in the Spirit, for there alone we have peace. So here's the book, Exposing the Devil's Playbook, friends. Powerful spiritual warfare, strategies to equip you for battle. We just barely scratched the surface of this book. It's a $22 book, yours for $15, to encourage you, to strengthen you, for the year to come. We've got to be spiritual warriors, my friends. We've got to be victors. We've got to be overcomers. And that's what God wants for you. That's why we did this program here today, just for you. $15 on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling. And friend, these programs don't take place automatically. We have to rely upon you, God's servants, to finance, to make it available for those to hear, including you. I hope you'll be generous in your giving. Ask the Holy Spirit what He would have you to give. And if He talks to you, respond. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.